Looking for a new home should be exciting, not frustrating. That's why Homes.com might just be the best home shopping site out there. Imagine searching for your dream home without ads cluttering your view. Homes.com's sleek, beautifully designed, ad-free interface makes your search simple and distraction-free. And if you're a parent, you know how important school information is. Homes.com gets it. They're the only site with detailed school and district info from multiple sources, including reviews from Niche. Plus, they've got a super comprehensive and transparent agent directory, making it easy to find the right expert to guide your journey. Oh, and here's a game changer. Homes.com always connects you directly with a listing agent who knows the home best. They even go beyond the basics, offering the most in-depth neighborhood content of any home shopping site, packed with details to help you find a community that feels like home. And the search tools? Unmatched. With 22 data visualization layers, 7 environmental layers, and filters for commute times and architectural styles, Homes.com truly is the home search you've been searching for. Go to Homes.com. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
Oh, such a clutch off-season pickup, Dave.
I know, right? I was worried we'd bring back the same team.
Oh, no, I meant those blackout motorized shades. MVP of the room.
Blinds.com made it crazy affordable to replace our old blinds.
Hard to install?
No, it's easy. Even you could do it.
Nice.
I installed these and then got some for my mom, too.
What, you fly across the country to do the install?
Nope. Blinds.com can do it all. All she had to do was pick what she wanted. She talked to a design consultant for free and scheduled a professional measure and install.
Look at you, a Hall of Fame son.
Oh, I just picked the winning team. They're the number one online retailer of custom window coverings in the world.
Oh, Blinds.com is the GOAT.
The GOAT.
Shop Blinds.com right now and get up to 45% off select styles and a 100% satisfaction guarantee. Save up to 45% at Blinds.com. Blinds.com. Rules and restrictions may apply.
Flurries of fun await this winter in Indiana. Feel the rush of the Midwest's only refrigerated toboggan run. Ski down snow-covered slopes and marvel at frozen waterfalls on a winter hike. When it's time to unwind, from outdoor fun to indoor escapes, your perfect winter getaway starts in Indiana. Plan your trip today at inindiana.com/winter.
Justin, we have a podcast.
Diving deep into all things Texas, both on and off the field. Here's Sean Pendergast.
Welcome to Utopia.
Hey, everybody. Welcome in. Merry Christmas. Happy holidays. This is the post-game Chiefs loss edition of the Utopia Football Podcast. 27-19, the final score today. The Kansas City Chiefs beat the Houston Texans in Kansas City, a game that had a lot of ramifications for the Texans from an injury standpoint, very little ramification from a standings standpoint. The Chiefs remain the number one seed in the AFC. The Texans remain the number four seed in the AFC going into this game. Both of those scenarios were considered to be above 80% chance or thereabouts. So that holds up in this game. But there's a lot to dig into with this game, the biggest thing being the injury to Tank Dell. So a hearty welcome into you this holiday season in what was a bad Saturday for the Houston Texans. I'm Sean Pendergast, one half of Payne and Pendergast. If you're watching on YouTube, you can see I'm still in the studio here at Sports Radio 610. Just finished up the post-game show with Clint Sterner as we'll get ready for a Sunday of NFL football and then back in on Monday at 6 a.m. Payne and Pendergast. So let's dig into this game. A quick reminder before we do so to subscribe, rate, and review the podcast. If you're getting this for the first time or you've been just waiting for it each week and searching for it, the easiest thing to do is hit a subscribe button and then you get it automatically sent to whatever device you listen to the podcast on. So that's easiest for everybody. It's easiest for you. It's easiest for me when it comes to pumping up those download numbers. So, hit that subscribe button. Also, we will do our best to do a mailbag episode this week. The game is on Wednesday, the Ravens game. So send in your emails. I'm going to do my very, very best to drop a mailbag episode this week prior to the Ravens game, but no guarantees. But if you send in the emails, Even if I don't do an episode, I'll do my best to reply to you guys via email. But I know a lot of you have questions about this game. The game itself against the Ravens, obviously, is on a Christmas Wednesday. So I'll probably do some sort of combo mailbag preview of the Ravens game that would drop Tuesday this week or might drop Wednesday morning on Christmas morning. So send in your emails about this particular loss to the Chiefs or any other questions you have Texans related. The email's at the bottom of the screen if you're watching, if you're just listening, HOU mailbag at gmail.com. HOU mailbag at gmail.com. We'll get into four winners and four losers with this game in just a second. But I think the two biggest storylines in this game, one, the Tank Dell injury suffered while catching a touchdown pass from C.J. Stroud. Absolutely remarkable physical feat of holding onto a ball as you're going to the ground while your knee is in some form of disrepair. And number two, how do the Texans stack up with a team like the Kansas City Chiefs? How do we feel about that after this game? So we'll get into both of those and we'll do some four winners, four losers, and then let's get on with our Christmas shopping season, shall we? As for the Tank Dell injury being the number one story coming out of this game, it's devastating, obviously, for this season. You already lost Stephon Diggs earlier in the season. My big thing with them acquiring Stephon Diggs was that Nico and Tank had shown last year that you got to factor in injuries for each of them, and that you trade for Stephon Diggs at the very least, instead of getting all enamored with having all three on the field at the same time. If we're just going to be conservative about this, bringing in Stephon Diggs should ensure that most of the time, if not all the time, you'll have at least two marquee level wide receivers. Diggs going out with an injury obviously puts you on a very, very thin tightrope as to having two of them on the field, and this Tank injury puts you right back where you were at the end of last season with Nico Collins and then a bunch of dudes, and we know how that ended. So this Tank injury, especially painful because it looked like things were clicking for Tank finally. This was a game where he was looking like last season Tank. That touchdown gave him six catches for 98 yards on the day. He was moving the chains. He was getting open. He was making life easier for C.J. Stroud. And then to just see that injury is absolutely devastating for the Texans this season. My initial concern was not for this season. I don't think the Texans are winning the Super Bowl this year. And if they do make a deep run in the postseason, I don't think we've seen anything out of the offense that would tell us the offense was going to be the catalyst for a Super Bowl run with or without Tank. I was counting on the offense being average to slightly below average at best in the postseason, and I still feel that that's what the ceiling is for this offense. If the Texans are going to make a deep run in the postseason, it's going to be on the back of their defense and their special teams. If, and that's a big if. So this isn't anything where I feel like it shifts their odds. Like, their odds of getting deep into the postseason were already a little dicey to begin with. My initial concern was it looked so devastating, that injury. Is this something that's going to affect Tank next season? You know, when does he come back for next season? And the initial news on Tank is actually not terrible. Now, there's more news to come out, and there's more work that the doctors are doing to determine the overall damage to the knee. And who knows, by the time you listen to this podcast, maybe there's been more news that's come out. But Ian Rappaport is the one who's had this news, so that would be the guy whose Twitter account I would keep an eye on here over the next several hours. He tweeted this at 5:10 p.m. Houston time. Tank Dell suffered a dislocated kneecap as doctors are working to determine the damage. Surgery is possible, but has not yet happened. Dell's injury is significant, as Coach D'Amico Ryan said, not clear how significant it is. So a lot to unpack there, and there's obviously a lot more news still to come out. Looking at the replies to this, for people who look like they may know some things about dislocated kneecaps, look into the reaction on our text page in the studio here, and just talking to other players who have been in the knee injury realm before. I've texted with a few of them, talked to at least one of them, named Seth Payne, that dislocated kneecap, that's all it is actually at the far end of potential good news about this. You know, again, doesn't always require surgery. Patrick Mahomes had a dislocated kneecap sometime in the last few years. I forget when it was.
Wow. What's up? I just bought and financed a car through Carvana in minutes.
You? The person who agonized 4 weeks over whether to paint your walls eggshell or off-white bought and financed a car in minutes?
They made it easy. Transparent terms, customizable down and monthly. Didn't even have to do any paperwork.
Wow.
Mm-hmm. Hey, have you checked out that spreadsheet I sent you for our dinner options?
Finance your car with Carvana and experience total control. Financing subject to credit approval.
Hey, I'm Ben Stiller.
I'm Adam Scott.
And we make a TV show called Severance. Severance is back for season 2 on Apple TV+.
Before the premiere, Ben and I are going to be binging season 1 and putting out daily recaps. And after that, we're going to keep going as we recap every episode of season 2.
The Severance podcast with Ben Stiller and Adam Scott is presented by State Farm. Like a good neighbor, State Farm is there.
Listen and follow now on Apple Podcasts, the Odyssey app, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Head to Safeway this week for these amazing digital deals for members. Coca-Cola, 7-Up, Dr. Pepper, and Polar Seltzer, selected varieties and sizes, buy two and get three free of equal or lesser value, plus CRV. Limit three free items. USDA Choice Bone-In Ribeye Steak, $7.97 per pound. Limit two packages. Creamy Hass Avocados, 77 cents each. Limit four items. Visit Safeway.com for more details. See you in the aisles.
They popped that bad boy in, and he was back playing that season. So this would be, if this is how it holds up, as long as there's no further damage that they find, that it's a dislocated kneecap, I don't think it means he's coming back this season. At least that's not what I'm counting on. But it does mean that we're not talking about completely reconstructive knee surgery, nerve damage, artery damage, all of those things. As of right now. So that's the report as I'm recording this at 6:55 p.m. on Saturday evening. That's the news on Tank Dell. So long term, at least so far, so good. Short term here, they're going to be without Tank Dell, and that's going to be a huge problem for this offense, which an offense that continues to struggle to maintain consistency. C.J. Stroud did some good things today. He also did some bad things today. And it seemed to me like this Tank Dell injury, and we shouldn't ignore CJ's reaction to it on the field. He was very emotional about it, very busted up about it. His post-game press conference, very emotional about it. I have a hard time blaming emotion. Like, this is just how he reacts to this. I think it's part and parcel of CJ Stroud. If you like CJ Stroud, the good person and the good teammate and the guy everybody likes to play with, this might be one of those things that just comes with the package. Because I do know there are Texan fans out there who feel like that the way he was handling it on the sidelines, they would like to have seen a more stoic CJ Stroud, that the quarterback shouldn't need Joe Mixon, you know, getting him emotionally reconnected to the game, talking him down off the ledge, all of those things. I'm not a former player, so I don't know what the dynamics are on the bench when players see their quarterback reacting that way. This part I would say is that it did seem like CJ was doing some uncharacteristic things in terms of just the mental part of the game during the second half, in particular two delay of game penalties that are just very, very uncharacteristic of CJ Stroud. How much did his emotional state factor into just his razor sharp level of focus? Who knows? But I know that'll be a big topic on Monday on Payne and Pendergast for sure. And on Sports Radio 610. So life without Tank Dell, and there's really no time to adapt or adjust. They've got to play the Ravens on Wednesday this week. The Ravens beat the Steelers this afternoon, 34-17. So the Ravens and the Steelers are in a dogfight for the AFC North right now, and the Texans sitting at the fourth seed are in all likelihood going to get whoever is the runner-up in the AFC North as their first-round playoff opponent. Possibly. That's the most likely scenario right now. So there's that. The second big storyline before we get into four winners and four losers is just how this team felt about the way they played. DeMeco Ryans went into this game talking about this game being a bit of a measuring stick for the Texans. You know, let's see how we play. He denied it was a measuring stick game in his press conference on Tuesday, and then on his coach's show, or Monday, whenever it was, and then on his coach's show proceeded to tell John Harris and Mark Vandermeer how he can't wait to see how they stack up against the Chiefs. I don't know. That sounds like a measuring stick to me. So maybe we're debating semantics. I will say this, that it seemed like the general feeling coming out of this game for the people that mattered, DeMeco Ryans, CJ Stroud, they both do press conferences after each game. We had Christian Harris on the post-game show, and he echoed the same sentiment they did, which is they felt good about the way they competed against the Chiefs. Christian Harris went so far as to say, we think we're as good as them. We just made some mistakes. Part of being good is not making mistakes. I would point that out. And it feels like the Chiefs rarely make a mistake. That's what makes them so good. And the mistakes that they do make are not the kind of game-killing mistakes that the Texans make. You know, their mistakes are not interceptions that destroy drives and lead to points for the opposition. Their mistakes are Patrick Mahomes overthrows an open receiver on first and 10, and they live to fight another day. And it's just very, very frustrating to be on the wrong end of. So I think what's interesting about the way that D'Amico and CJ and to an extent Christian Harris reacted to this game, where there was an enthusiasm level that they felt like they stood in with the Chiefs, could have won the game, had possession of the ball with 5 minutes to go with a chance to go down and get a tying touchdown. And then ultimately they lose the game because they don't make as many big plays as the Chiefs. D'Amico and CJ felt like this was a good thing. And where this team is right now, it probably is a good thing. I just find it interesting because if we had said at the beginning of the year, back in July, when the expectations for this team were that they were going to be on that same tier with the chance to beat teams like the Chiefs and the Bills. And I know they beat the Bills earlier this year. I'm talking about this version of the Bills, the Week 16 version that Josh Allen's the MVP. The Ravens, I guess, to an extent, you know, we'll find out how the Texans stack up with them in a few days. If we had been saying at the beginning of the year that that's what we would be talking about after this Chiefs game, I think people would have been incredibly disappointed that there's happiness over a loss to the Chiefs. But that's where we are. This is a 9-6 team that plays in a lot of close games, whether their opponent is good or bad. And the fact of the matter is it's a young team that's in year two of being good with this group and this coach and this quarterback. So I think, you know, the truth of the matter is just this is where they are right now. You know, they're in a place where merely competing with the Chiefs in Kansas City for 56 minutes is considered positive progress. And I think it's the truth. I think it's just feels unfortunate, especially because the reason why we feel this way is because the reason why this is the standard right now is because the offense has gotten worse since last year. That hurts. So there you go. The Ravens come to town. Texans banged up, and it wasn't just Tank Dell. Jimmy Ward out with a foot injury. We don't know what his situation is. Shaq Mason goes out, you know, whatever. I may not feel bad for Shaq Mason, but Kendrick Green came in and did just as good of a job, I thought, as Shaq Mason has done all year. So the injury bug hit pretty hard in terms of starters. Three starters go out, the biggest one being Tank Dell. So let's get into some four winners and four losers, and then let's get on with our holiday season, shall we? We'll start with four winners. Number four, Henry Toa-Toa. He was all over the place today. But I believe he led the team in tackles again today. He had a TFL in this game. Henry Toa-Toa continues to, I think, strive towards being a bit of a revelation, certainly a surprise as to how much he's improved year over year. It's going to be really exciting when they get Azeez Al-Shaair back, provided Christian Harris and Henry Toa-Toa remain healthy over this, well, really this Ravens game. They're going to get Al-Shaair back for the Titans game at the end of the year. You know, we'll see how the Texans play that game. If they're embedded in the four seed, then they may rest everybody, which given the goings on of today, I'd be totally cool with. I know a lot of people want them to rest players for this Ravens game. Fact is, there's still some three seed possibilities there for the Texans to play for. So I don't expect them to rest anybody. Maybe they'll be a little conservative with who they play and who they don't play, or how long of a rope. If the game gets out of hand one way or the other, maybe they have a quicker leash for guys like CJ Stroud or Nico Collins or Will Anderson Jr., guys like that. I expect the starters to start on Wednesday. Whether you agree or disagree, I'm just telling you what I expect to happen with this team. But I thought Henry Toa-Toa was outstanding again today. So props to him. Winner number three, I'm going to say the offensive line for the first half and the first part of the second half did a pretty good job, I thought, protecting CJ Stroud. I thought the Chiefs started to figure some things out in the second half of this game. I guess if I'm going to boil it down to a winner for the offensive line, I'll say Kendrick Green, who looks like he's going to get an opportunity here to prove that he can be a starter in the NFL if Shaq Mason is out. Shaq Mason had a knee brace on for the second half of this game. He's an older player. he hadn't been very good this year anyways. Like when it was Shaq Mason going out, I was ready for whatever they had at right guard just because I felt it was going to be better than what they've been getting from Shaq. And I thought Kendrick Green did some good things, especially considering that he's a backup coming in with very little action this year. And Kenyon Green, and Clint Sterner points this out on the postgame show, at least has some dog to him. This offensive line has very little dog to them, despite the fact that Laremy Tunsil loves to tell you how many different players, that Laremy Tunsil feels like he's a really good judge of dog in people, and yet this line plays with very little dog to them. So I'll say Kendrick Green a winner, if indeed he's going to get an opportunity here. But there were people on the text line and on the postgame show, a few people, not the majority, but were super critical of the offensive line. I thought the run game wasn't terrible today, and I thought they did a pretty good job of protecting C.J. Stroud. Again, the line is a microcosm of where we are with this team, where right now the fact that they merely competed for most of the game with the Chiefs and that the O-line play was not that bad, unfortunately, that's the standard right now. God damn it. And I hate it too, but that's where we're at. Not my fault. Number two winner. Healthy Tank Dell. And I hate saying that because he's not healthy anymore. But man, I want to just recognize how good Tank looked in this game today before he got hurt. He looked like the old Tank. And that's why, man, I'm really keeping my fingers crossed that this injury is something that is not eating into his offseason. You know, this is a guy now who has suffered a broken leg, a gunshot wound to his leg, and at the very least, a dislocated kneecap, it sounds like, within a matter of like a year and 2 weeks. It was week 13 last year when he suffered the broken leg. We're in week 16 now. So we're talking 55. In the last 55 weeks, Tank's suffered a broken leg, a gunshot wound to the leg, and a dislocated knee. Now, I've lost track of which leg all of these injuries are on, but either way, it ain't good. It ain't good. So, but I wanted to recognize, man, Tank, dude, holding on to that ball going to the ground while he's holding the ball with one hand, literally holding his knee with the other hand. Remarkable. CJ wanted nothing to do with that question after the game, by the way. If you saw the press conference, somebody asked him, what did you think about Tank being able to hold the ball going to the ground? And CJ predictably was like, come on, bro. Like, I don't care about the touchdown. That's my buddy. That's my best friend. CJ did eventually. I don't know who asked the question, but he told the reporter, it's all right, man. He wasn't mad at him, but I get how CJ was reacting to that. Number one winner, I just got to give credit to the Chiefs, man. I hate to do it. The Chiefs right now are one of my least favorite teams in the NFL because they're just so fucking good. But they gave a masterclass today in how you avoid mistakes, neutralize the things that the opposition does well. And I'll talk about that in losers in just a second. But boy, did they do a great job of neutralizing the things the Texans do well defensively, things that we thought were going to turn into matchup advantages for the Texans. Andy Reid, Patrick Mahomes, and the Chiefs offense was able to, chef's kiss, man, execute to perfection. Over the last 10 minutes of the game, the Chiefs possessed the football for about 90% of the time. A long field goal drive to make it an 8-point game again, and then obviously holding on to the ball. Once the Texans had to punt the ball back to the Chiefs with about 4 minutes to go, I started getting ready for the postgame show. That's the highest compliment I can pay to the Chiefs. So they're the number one winner today, man. Not just on the scoreboard, but in the way they go about it. You have got to play, if you're the Texans at least, because you're not explosive enough offensively to make up for mistakes. You've got to play flawlessly in terms of eliminating silly mistakes, dropped balls, Dalton Schultz on a third down, missed PATs, long returns allowed, penalties. Now, let's go there. Because there were penalties in this game that were avoidable if you're the Texans, but let's start with the losers. And those of you listening to this podcast know that I am not an officiating complainer. I promise you, in the 3 seasons now that I've been doing this podcast, I have never had officiating listed in the 4 winners and 4 losers. Promise you. You can go back and listen to every episode following a game. In fact, go do that. That'll help the download numbers too. So I don't normally include officiating, but my God. And I have always kind of looked at the people who complain about the Chiefs and the breaks they get with officiating with a bit of a side eye. I'm like, I don't know, man. Like, you got to make your own breaks sometimes. And the Chiefs, as I pointed out in the four winners, certainly deserve their share of credit for winning this game. But the officiating in the second quarter was so piss poor. The PI, the offensive pass interference on Tank Dell, field fabricated and made up. It was so silly. The fumble, the thrumble from Patrick Mahomes, that was a fumble. And they called it an incomplete pass. And it was, the whole thing was negated anyways because of, I thought, a ticky-tack Derek Barnett hands to the face with Patrick Mahomes. I don't know what Derek Barnett's supposed to do. He's swinging to try to get the ball, and he grazes the side of Mahomes' helmet. That was a huge play in that game, man. Like, the missed fumble call there. You guys know the one I'm talking about, where Mahomes is kind of, his arm was moving forward, but he had lost control of the ball. I thought well before it would be considered a throw. Henry Toa ended up picking it up and taking it into the end zone. The penalty on Barnett would have neutralized that touchdown anyways. But I just thought all the way around, that was shitty. The hold on Derek Stingley, I thought, was shitty. It was a poorly officiated game, I thought, at crucial times. So allow me, on a day where my mood is a little affected by this whole Tank Dell thing, to put the officials under losers. And allow me also to click over to losers on the graphic. There we go. Loser 4A, Sean Pendergast, for forgetting to change the graphics on the screen. All right, loser number three. I'll make these last ones quick. Kymie Fairbairn missing a PAT right after the whole Tank Dell thing. Anytime you get something happening like Tank Dell going down with that injury where it's clearly affected the emotion of the team, if you're a player who controls the fate of the very next play coming out of that, you've got to do your job just to recalibrate the game for your team. In which case, recalibrating would mean making an extra point. The trust level in Kymie Fairbairn, I think it's an underplayed thing here over the last several games. Kymie Fairbairn was the best kicker in football for the first month and a half of the season. He won the AFC Special Teams Player of the Week award twice in those weeks. He's missed a chippy against the Titans that would have tied the game, missing an extra point. There have been misses here and there with Kymie Fairbairn over the last several weeks. The trust level, if there were a circle of trust that we did for the Texans, Seth and I, like we do for the Astros, I don't know that Kymie Fairbairn's in the circle of trust right now. Missing an extra point right after your team needs that pick-me-up, especially when it's an extra point that would tie the game in the second half against the Chiefs. When you come out of that whole thing and your mindset is, all right, well, at least we're going to be tied because of this touchdown, and you're still trailing, Kymie, stop it. Don't do that. All right, that's number three. Number two, Bobby Slowik, stop fucking calling missile screens to the wide receivers. They don't work. Your team sucks at them, and you're voluntarily putting your team in second and 12 or third and 15. How does an offensive coordinator, I've got the sequence of plays right here. This was the Texans' second drive of the game that led to their first score, that led to their field goal, that led to a Kymie Fairbairn 33-yard field goal. The first three plays, the first four plays of the drive, Nico Collins, 12-yard catch, first down. Tank Dell, big downfield play, first down. Joe Mixon, 22-yard run, first down. Literally the first three plays all resulted in first downs. Then you get Robert Woods with a little dink pass to get to second and six. So you're in second and manageable. What do you fucking call on the next play? That dog shit missile screen that you guys run that never works. Now, you had four plays in a row that were three that worked tremendously and one that got you at least in a textbook down and distance situation. So what do you fucking call a missile screen that had already not worked in this game? Stop calling that play. Somebody tell him to stop calling that play. If he's calling it, D'Amico, walk over and tackle him. Literally tackle him. Hurt him if he calls that play. I don't wish violence on anybody, but Bobby Slowik is inflicting violence on my mental state with these screens to Nico Collins. Your team sucks at them. They're always going to suck at them as long as you're the OC and Chris Strauser is the offensive line coach. Always. They're never going to work. The only time they worked, Laremy Tunsil was picking his nose downfield against the Cowboys, and it got called back. Since then, I don't think you've gotten out of the backfield calling these things. Stop doing it. God, how is that not the number one loser right there? Who did I have number one? Oh, the edge. Yeah. The edge rushers today. Sorry, I hate to do it. I love Danielle Hunter and Will Anderson Jr. In fact, I'm slightly frightened doing this because Danielle Hunter is a scary man. Will Anderson looks like a scary man, and he probably would be if he were rushing me and I'm opposing quarterback, but he's got a very affable personality. I feel like if I got in trouble with Will, I could talk my way out of it. I feel like if I got in trouble with Danielle Hunter, I would be missing a head. But they didn't do anything today, and I don't know that it's all their fault. You know, this is Andy Reid and Patrick Mahomes we're talking about here. But I'll just group this together. Like, the things that have gotten the Texans at least into a conversation that they can make a little noise in the postseason, none of those things came to fruition today. Edge rushers causing turnovers, zero turnovers, one sack, and the sack came from Christian Harris on a blitz. So the Texans defense, they won a horrible game for them today, and they did certain things that they came up big at certain times, holding the Chiefs to field goals. The fourth and one stop that they made at midfield after the Tank Dell injury was huge. Would have been huge if the offense could have taken advantage of it, but they couldn't. So the defense wasn't totally bad, but the things that they're going to need to do to win games in places like Kansas City, they just didn't do today, man. And that'll get you on the losers list. So there you go. All right. Big thanks to Anthony Irwin, my producer, all of you for listening. The next time you hear from me will be a little early in this week. We'll do a mailbag. We'll do a mailbag Ravens preview combo episode. How's that? And I don't know when it'll drop, but get your emails into me again, houmailbag@gmail.com, houmailbag@gmail.com. And again, hit that subscribe button. We appreciate when you do that. Season winding down, man. We know they're going to be in the postseason. The question becomes, who are they going to play? How far can they go? And the big question now, too, which really doesn't affect the postseason, but man, what does the Tank Dell injury look like? I think this is a huge storyline long-term for this team, much more so than short. Short-term, we know what it means. They're without Tank, and they're going to have trouble moving the football. Period, end of subject, which makes it different than the rest of the season. Zero. They've had trouble moving the ball all year long. It's just going to look uglier. That's all. All right, big thanks to Anthony Irwin, my producer, for getting the podcast out to all of you. Big thanks to all of you for listening. I will see all of you a little later on this week. Enjoy the week. Happy holidays, everybody. This has been the Utopia Football Podcast.
Hey, guys, it's Jim Costa from Cash the Ticket. If you're betting the NFL playoffs, you need to be listening to Cash the Ticket. We're breaking down every single game, totals and sides, all the way to the big game. Subscribe to Cash the Ticket on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.